Okay, so what button do I push? It's been a long time since I've done this. I
To do
forget
what?
what I'm supposed to do. To record.
I don't know, man.
Is it this button? I think we're on. Are you on?
It's all you, man. I don't know. I don't set this up.
Yeah, no, all right. So, anyways, I think we're back. I think this thing is actually recording. It's been a long, 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 long time. Too long since we've
Been
recorded something.
months.
Yes, it has. Well, you took a little vacation there. You left and went to Connecticut for a little while. And you came back a fatter, happier man.
Yo, I wouldn't say fat.
You came back normally built?
Still
Still malnourished?
not malnourished, but certainly not
Skinny, but properly
skinny.
fed.
Yes,
How's that?
that'll
Yes.
work.
Yeah, so you went home to Connecticut for a few weeks, just to chill with the family, say hello, and go through all that stuff, huh?
Yep, I was there for the Extra Life, the day of the Extra Life event.
Yeah, and how'd your thing go?
Well, it went good. Like you said, yeah, I was visiting my family, so for most of the 24 hours, I played Castlevania: Lords of Shadow.
And what do
But
you think of that? Well, we'll talk about
we'll talk
that
about
later.
that. Played Lords of Shadow whenever, the old man and my mom wanted to watch TV. I switched over to Crush the Castle 2 on Armor Games.
That's cool. Yeah, on the PC, right?
Yeah, so
Yeah.
I was always playing, just not the same game all the time.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And how much did you end up bringing in total for you played for Connecticut, right? The hospital near you where you grew up?
Yeah, and altogether, they received almost $4,500
That's good. That's really
for
good.
that one particular
That's really,
hospital.
really good.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Extra Life, if you're listening, you obviously know about Extra Life, but if we have any new listeners, Extra Life is a 24-hour game marathon. We hold it once a year. It's put on by the Sarcastic Gamer Network. Next year it'll be October 15th, 2011. And it's normally a Saturday in October. And what we do is we as a community get together and we play games for one 24-hour period. You start at 8 a.m. in your time zone, and you play all the way through until 8 a.m. the next day in your time zone. Duh, obviously, right? And what you do is you get friends, family, coworkers, acquaintances, strangers on the street to cut you a check to pledge you a certain amount of money an hour, or just a flat amount. And we try to raise money for this year, it's the children's hospital that you choose to raise for. I went for Children's Memorial Hospital here in Chicago, and you went for, what was the name of it?
Connecticut Children's Hospital, I think is the
Connecticut
name of
Children's
it.
Hospital. There you go. And it's a wonderful charity. This year alone, I have a huge, this is amazing. This is great. We collectively, as a gaming group, 3,500 of us, burned through a lot of electricity, a lot of Mountain Dew, and a lot of chips and candy on, October 16th, and we raised over $450,000 for this children's charity. That's amazing. That is absolutely astonishing. Considering the last 2 years combined, we barely raised over $300,000. So you're talking now in 3 years, we've raised $750,000 to help fight kids' cancer and fund research and the types of education that these people need to survive, hopefully live another day, and maybe even find a cure for what ails them. So it's a great, great thing, and it's wonderful that we've been able to do that. Yeah, so I played 24 hours. I started here in Chicago at 8 o'clock in the morning and played all the way through 8 o'clock, and I did a whole variety of stuff. I started the morning with Dead Rising 2. I hit level 50 in that, so I was pretty happy about that. Still haven't finished it with like the story ending yet. I just saved all this as many survivors as I can and got the C ending or whatever it was, and it was pretty cool and lots of fun. And then I went on to Castlevania: Lord of Shadows, where I got to the first Shadow of the Colossus-like fight. It was that ice monster Colossus thing, the
Right.
Ice Titan. And then I went on and played a little Half-Life. I'm sorry, Halo Reach. With the Sarcastic Gamer guys, that was really cool because the beauty of that was it made 5 hours of Extra Life just disappear. I went from 2 to 7 and didn't even realize it. And then I played Demon Souls. I love that game for a couple hours while I ate dinner, and then I raided with the people in WoW while we learned the new 4.0.1 spec, new patch that came out. And then I played 55% of Uncharted 2, which I phenomenal. I can't believe it took me so long to play that game. And then I finished, then I had to go, I played a lot, as you can tell. And then I went and finished off my commitment to 402, who's the community manager for Infinity Ward. He pledged me $24, and he said, if you play Modern Warfare 2, you have to, and I did. And then I finished up the morning with a little more Castlevania Lord of Shadows while the sun came up over Yield Lake, Michigan. So it was a long day, but lots of fun, and I think I accomplished a lot gaming-wise.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, I tried. So since it's been a long time, a lot of games have come out. We're not going to talk about all of them, but we're going to talk about the ones that you've finished or played or liked and things like that.
Okay.
So why don't we pick one first? I know we both played Castlevania Lord of Shadows. Right. I am by no means, I'm probably 10% into it maybe, if even. You know where I'm at. I kind of told you.
Yeah.
So it's
you're level. Very, yeah, there's...
I'm very early still.
Yeah, there's over 50 levels.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so, and I'm very, very early on. You finished it. You've gone all the way through and you've actually finished it. You've seen the end credits and everything.
End credits and the epilogue, which I would like to talk about.
Oh, you'll be able to.
But
it's been out long enough.
What?
It's been out long enough.
But
I think
you haven't
okay.
finished it.
I haven't finished it, but it's okay.
Well, there's just a lot of people, it seems, have a problem with the epilogue to the story.
Okay. Well, why don't you do this? Tell everybody what Castlevania Lord of Shadows is at. I mean, it's a Castlevania game. It's done by Kojima Productions, which is the Metal Gear Solid guys.
Right.
But I don't think you've seen a lot about this game, or people haven't actually talked a lot about it. So why don't you tell us what it is, what it's like, and then we'll start actually discussing it.
I mean, for some reason, these 3D Castlevania games tend to slip under the radar.
They do.
Because I have Lament of Innocence, which was a PS2 3D
yes.
Castlevania. And I didn't realize there was another one in between.
There was?
Yeah, there was another 3D iteration of it in between Lament of Innocence and Lords of Shadow, which I had no idea. And I'm gonna read some more reviews on that and maybe pick it up and take a look at it. But actually, it's a Castlevania game in kind of in name only, in as much as, I mean, your character's name is Belmont, so you have that connection. But apart from that, it doesn't have the connection with the 2D games, because the enemies are not your typical Castlevania enemies. I mean, like you were saying before, the Shadow of the Colossus part with the Ice Titan, I mean, they're not even trying to mask the fact that they're
right, yeah.
pulling from other games. I mean, it's very much a God of War clone
yeah.
type of game, and the Titan battles, which is a shame that there's only 3 for the entire game.
Oh,
which is a shame, because they're a lot of fun.
They are good.
They work really well. We have some platforming, which,
yes.
which I think is a first for the Castlevania series as far as I've seen. Yeah, there's some platforming, very much, the platforming is not Prince of Persia, but more like Uncharted.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of some of the platforming they give us right now. That the jumping and climbing and the grapple hook cross mechanic is a little bit, I don't know, it's all right, but sometimes it feels like it's missing, like there's a perspective change, or it's because of the fact that there's large amounts of invisible walls, where it's like, I would like to cut through this pool of water, but it won't let you kind
right.
of thing, and that's where I took a little bit of an exception to it.
Yeah, and there's that, it's so linear, it's almost like the old environments from Resident Evil, where you know,
yeah.
there's definitely a path you can take, and the fixed camera isn't your friend either.
No, not at all, especially for monsters that come from behind.
Which they all do.
Yeah.
Which they all do. There's a pretty cool story to it.
That's good.
You're primarily fighting werewolves for the first half, and then vampires for the second half.
Okay, yeah, I haven't even seen a vampire yet. I've only been fighting the Worgen, the werewolf guys, and the little goblin guys that throw bombs at you that you can pick up and throw back.
Right. There's a lot going on. I mean, there's something there for everybody. Then I never got really up to a point where I was too frustrated or I didn't like the game. I would say that if you're going to play it, I think I gave you this piece of advice. If you're going to play it, I know you like to play it on either the default or on a harder level. From
yeah,
the
playing it on Paladin or whatever it is right now, that yeah. hard level.
Yeah, I can see doing that for the achievements, for that aspect of it. But honestly, on the harder levels, it just seems like all you have to do is beat on the same enemies for a longer period of time.
Well, you already told me this. The daggers you get, the throwing daggers, it takes on average 2 daggers to throw to kill the average worgen on my hard difficulty when you told me that it's only 1 dagger for that. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm stuck at this giant spider. But it's not a boss fight because they have no problems throwing big monsters at you at any time. But
right.
And there's like 3 or 4 worgen and one of these big spiders. And just trying to manage all these enemies... and keep my distance is a little bit troublesome and a little bit difficult at times. But I think I may take your advice and go back and try it on a slight, on normal.
And I'm not saying that to make it for you an easier time. I'm saying it's to make it a more enjoyable time.
Yeah, and that's the problem is I'm at the point now where I'm pretty much about ready to say the fuck this game kind of thing. It's like, but I know there's something good. It looks gorgeous. It plays all right. Like you said, it's a God of War clone with a lot of little elements to it, like the platforming and all that kind of stuff. But I definitely do need to lower the difficulty because it is one of those situations where if you're not managing or if you're not parrying just perfectly, you're going to have problems with it the whole time. So, but that's okay. You okay?
Also, one of the things that I liked about it was it has quick time events.
Yeah.
But they really don't break up the flow of the game.
No, and that's one of the things I really like, too. Just based on the intro level, you're fighting that big worgen thing, and it seamlessly is cutting between what seems to be cutscene engine cinematics and gameplay with not even a hiccup.
Yeah.
And that's really, 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 really nice.
And you got some nice voiceover talent going. You got Robert Carlyle from Stargate Universe.
Yep.
As the main character. You got Patrick Stewart in there. And Natasha McElhone from Californication.
I've never watched it, really. I've seen 4 episodes.
She's in there, too. And, yeah, the voice acting is definitely very good. But all in all, now here's where it's going to kind of venture into spoiler territory. I like the Castlevania games. I find them frustrating to a certain extent. But from what I've been able to gather, this is a prequel game to all of the games.
Okay.
So if that's the case, then what people are complaining about, a lot of people are complaining about the epilogue at the end. I'm going to tell you what happens at the end.
That's fine.
You finish the game, and your final boss is Satan.
Okay.
You fight Satan, and you end up the game with a dark soul. You become one of the Lords of Shadows.
Okay.
It's like something along those lines. The credits roll, and then there's an epilogue where Zobek, the character of played by Patrick Stewart, goes into an old cathedral, goes up, and finds Belmont.
Okay.
And talks to him and says, "We have to take up the fight again." And they begin to fight. And Zobek knocks your character out of the window. And once he's outside, you see that it's either modern days or even the future.
Okay.
And you become Dracula.
So, the character you're playing as becomes Dracula.
Becomes Dracula.
Okay.
And a lot of people are like, how can that be? That's ridiculous. Well,
that makes sense to me.
Then he is the Dracula that all the other Belmonts have fought in the previous Castlevania.
That it always explains this, all the crazy bloodlines this, why it's your destiny, why it's that.
I didn't have a problem.
Yeah, that's fine with me. That's okay by me.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It does have a fair amount of replay value in as much as...
Well, there's all those challenge missions per level.
The
trials, yeah.
Yeah. There's that, and it's kind of like the old Metroid thing where there's going to be things in earlier levels that you can't reach until you get the abilities in a later level.
Yeah, I've already seen those.
Brotherhood chests that are too high up in the lower levels. But once you get the double jump ability, you can go back and open those up.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I don't think I'm done with it. I mean, I'm done with the storyline, but I don't think I'm done playing it to try to get every little thing out of it that I can get.
Now, it's two discs, and do you think it's two discs because of the amount of art and resolution they packed into it, or just because of the VO, or because of all the cutscenes? Or is it just too hard to tell?
I have no idea.
Okay, because that was the only thing.
Mass Effect is on one.
No, Mass Effect 2, both of them are on two discs.
Oh, they are on two discs. Okay.
Yeah. And you have to swap them at one point. And that...
Well, Fallout 3. Fallout 3 is one disc.
Fallout 3 is one disc, yes.
I can't see how Castlevania has more going on in-game than Fallout 3 does.
Well, Fallout 3 is a lot of... Fallout 3 is one color palette, gray and brown. And there's not a lot going on. I mean, you see a lot of duplicate things over and over again. But I don't know what it is. It seems like there's something weird going on there with that, why it's two discs. But still, I mean, I didn't load it to the hard drive, and it worked perfectly fine for me. And the load times are spot on perfect. And like I said, there's no problems with these cutscenes integrated into the action. They're just perfectly A-OK in my eyes.
Well, and even if you do install it onto the hard drive, you still got to switch the disc.
Oh, yeah, that was the same thing with Mass Effect.
Yeah, it doesn't really... It might save you on load times, but
right. So
like you said, they're not that bad.
Oops. Right. So Castlevania: Lord of Shadows. You recommend it?
Sure. Don't pick it up just on the basis of being a Castlevania fan, because
you might be disappointed.
I don't think you'd be disappointed in that part that it's not really a Castlevania. It doesn't feel like a Castlevania game. None of the music is there. There's one level where some of the old music comes in.
Okay.
But I think anybody who picks up who's a fan of God of War or any just... And it's not a button masher, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's...
There's combos. You have to know and figure out,
these combos, because...
I mean, the nice... Go on, sorry.
Some of the enemies later on, some of the boss enemies... You need to use heavy-duty attacks to...
Well, that's the neat part that I liked about the game was, I think it's X on the 360 controller is single attack. It's a really focused, strong attack. And is it A?
Y
is a circular attack. You spin your whip around and it kind of hits everything. It's an area attack. And you don't necessarily have a whip either. That's the thing that I found weird. I kind of call this like Dante's Inferno meets Castlevania.
You have a whip?
Well... You have your cross, which chains out into a whip. And I just thought that was kind of interesting that's how it works.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the cross is your utility weapon. It does pretty much everything. You get the ability to grapple from it. It turns into a whip, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I liked it. So far, I'm enjoying it. I haven't gotten as far as you. Like I said, I know I'm still very, very early, but it's lots and lots. And I'm enjoying it. But the only problem that I have with it right now is, like I said, we were talking earlier, I think that if and when I go back to it, I might have to replay the beginning levels again so I can remember what the buttons are, because it's one of those where it doesn't seem to have a very intuitive control scheme unless you've been playing it for a while.
Yeah.
The activating the magic and the parry and that kind of stuff is what I'm talking about.
Well, I think the only thing that doesn't come naturally is that in order to collect magic, you have to press in on the... on the sticks.
Yeah, that's one thing I forgot about.
It takes a little bit of getting used to, but apart from that, I mean, I didn't have any problem at all with the controls.
I thought
they were okay.
Great, so that's Lord of Shadows. It's pretty good. So we're going to go over Dead Rising 2 here real quick, and then you guys, thanks to the magic of editing, won't have to deal with it, but we're probably going to take a break. It is Halloween here when we're recording. We're going to go downstairs, give some kids some candy for a little while, and we're going to order a pizza, have some dinner, and then we're going to finish the recording up then, but we're going to go over a game that I think Max really wants to talk about because he hated the first one and for multiple reasons, and that's Dead Rising 2.
Mm.
So I loved the first Dead Rising. I understood and I got...
I thought you went back and changed your tune on that.
Well, we could discuss that, but loved the first Dead Rising. I really did. I liked it a lot, despite some of the problems and things like that. But we recently, after Case Zero came out, I was hanging out at Max's house, and we decided to pop in the first Dead Rising again. And it had been a long time since we both visited this. And it turns out that, man, did they fix the controls in Dead Rising 2 compared to Dead Rising 1. Like, night and day differences in controls. And I almost said, screw this, but I think we stopped early enough so that my ideas of the game had changed dramatically to the point where I think we left so early that I'm able to go back and say, yes, I still enjoyed that. It was an enjoyable experience, and what we played didn't sour.
I think we got as far as that first fight in the food court with Carlos.
Yes.
And then just realizing what a bullshit fight that was.
Yes, yes.
It is. It's just...
Well, part of it is because they have the camera tied as your main mechanic rather than the targeting reticle. So that's one of the things that really helped Dead Rising 2 is the fact that you don't have a camera, there is no alternate option, and it makes shooting and aiming a whole lot easier. So you hated the first Dead Rising for multiple reasons. You got your 360 right away, and you had a regular standard def television.
Well, that wasn't the game's fault. That frustrated me. That made me sad that I couldn't really play because I couldn't see the instructions. But you know, just in general, I mean, it really seemed to force your hand to do things you didn't necessarily want to do, and took away your freedom to move around in what was a pretty cool world. It would have been a pretty cool world to move around.
Yeah, there was only a few places to save in the first one. Really.
Yeah.
And one was in the main area. But in this game, the fact that you can save in almost any washroom really makes for versatility. Now, you really don't have to do the multiple saves. They're not really needed in this. But it is nice to know that when you're about to tackle something big, if you want to go back and do it and maybe have a split point if you want, you can go back and do it, or you can just constantly do the rolling save. It makes you feel a little more comfortable.
Absolutely.
But I think you see that there really is no need for the save point for you can get away with one save in that game if you want to, because of the fact that you carry everything with you the whole time.
Yeah.
And it really is a game that's built upon, I've gotten a little better, I've gotten a little stronger, and it only takes a half hour or so to get, if you've been playing the game for 2 hours, your first playthrough, it only takes you 10, 15 minutes to get to that first 2 hours when you play through it again, because you can skip all the cutscenes. You can skip all this, you can skip all that.
You know where you're going.
Exactly. The one thing you can't skip, though, are the load times.
Those load times are brutal.
Yeah, they're bad. They're not, you know, for what they populate on the screen, they're not awful, but...
They're pretty bad. You know, I mean, not a lot of people played this game, but there were times when I was playing Dead Rising 2 where the load screens had me thinking about that Leisure Suit Larry game. I can't remember, the PS2, not the Hollywood one, the one before, the one in college.
Yes.
Those load times were about on par with Dead Rising, but the problem that I have with Dead Rising is the fact that you're escorting these people. Sometimes they aren't with you at the door. You hit the enter the door button, and you realize that shit, I don't have my survivor with me. So I gotta sit through a load screen while it loads the next area. Then I gotta turn right around and go back to the last area to retrieve my survivor. And that's
my big complaint.
Just
hit on what my big complaint is, but mine is slightly different. Is whenever I get survivors, I can't just point at the hatch and say, go in there. I have to take them inside the hatch knowing they're full well rescued and have to wait, sit through the load screen and them talking to me, which is fine. But if I get them down to that generator, like mass utility closet, they should be able to crawl into that thing, do the cutscene there, and let me go back in about my business in that mall or that casino the way I want to. So what do you think of the psychopath battles in this? I'm not a big fan of them. But they are what they are.
I didn't have a real big issue with them. I mean, I found that kind of across the board, they're pretty easy.
They are, especially when you start getting powered up.
Once you get to a certain level and you have the boxing glove, Bowie knife combination.
I mean, the Wolverine hands?
What do they actually call in the game?
I don't know what they're called in the game. I'd have to look it up.
I know that the boxing gloves and the nails is the tenderizer.
Those are the MMA gloves and knives.
Oh, okay. Well, the boxing gloves and the knives, that's... Once you have those, you really don't need any other weapon.
No, and, well, the other weapon that's really good, too, that I told you about that I'm not sure if you ever did, was the spear and drill combo.
Yeah.
It's also very powerful.
Yeah, I use that, but it's kind of slow and definitely a one-at-a-time kind of weapon.
Yeah, one of the things I wish they would have done is I wish they would have given you a little bit more freedom and exploratoriness to it. If I want to combine two crappy knives together to make a knife, let me do it and waste those materials and have it break the first time I attack. There are 50 combinations of weapons you can do in there, but some of them feel just a little, I don't know, contrived or whatever. But still, I love it. I love the concept of being able to build the weapons. They really seem to have knocked it out of the park with that to elevate the accessibility of this game. Because mm-hmm. the first one, it really seemed like a grind sometime. Whereas this one, it seems like I'm having a lot more fun killing zombies. And there still is the potential. Even with me at level 50, if I screw up, I could be surrounded by a horde of zombies and have to fight my way out, screw up, and still come close to leaving dead if I mess up.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Right.
But that's never going to happen because at level 50 you have 12 inventory spots.
Yeah.
If you get trapped and die at level 50.
Yeah, I agree.
You obviously forgot to hit pause before you went into the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can do it, I think.
Now, you, like me, you haven't finished the actual story mode yet, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you've only rescued as many survivors as you can and made it to 3 days and kind of saw one of the poorer endings.
I saw the C ending.
Okay. I've seen the C and the F ending and the D ending. I don't remember the difference between D and C, but one is when you let Katie die. And that's if you just forget to give her the Zombrex. But I did get a cool achievement. I did get the Father of the Year achievement.
Oh, for bringing her there.
Oh, my God. That was an effort and a half to do. But, yeah, I'm happy to have that done.
Is it just the tiger?
No, you got to bring her the tiger. You got to bring her the tiger. You got to bring her all the stuffed animals. You got to bring her a bag of marbles, the riding horse stick, a water gun, something else. Oh, a beach ball. And one more thing or two more things, and then you get an achievement called Father of the Year, and that whole place is just cluttered full of toys. So.
Huh.
But it was fun to do that.
I don't know if I'm interested in doing all that.
It was, you know, when you lose the storyline and you're trying to make it 3 days, you find something interesting like that to keep you going, and that's one thing that I use to keep me going, so. But I'm really enjoying the game. I just started it again, and I'd like to make it to the storyline this week and actually see what happens. If I save all the survivors, I save all the survivors. If I don't, I don't. But I am enjoying it this time, and eventually I will try and go for the 100%. I do have one major disappointment with the game right now, is I've tried numerous times to get in the Terror in Reality or Terror is Reality video game online multiplayer thing. Have yet to experience that, and I've tried it every day. There's never games lobbied or never games going on at the time, and it's a very poor lobby system. What they need to do is they need to at least, if you're going to host a game, put me in there and let me do the beginning where you're on the motorcycle just killing things, running through the mall or whatever, and then once you have two or three additional people, then throw me in the actual game show. Don't make me sit there in a really crappy lobby system for 10, 5, 30, 45 minutes waiting for more people to join, especially when you have a whole bunch of achievements centered around this capability and you're not even able to do it.
Mm.
So,
you're saying that you're going to try for 100%. I will not be trying for 100% simply because as much fun as I have with it, as much fun as I have with the... I usually despise escort missions.
These work pretty good, though.
These work really well, and there's definitely a sense of accomplishment in getting them completed. But just out of nowhere, it's just one rescue. They got you playing poker, and you're forced to play poker, and the poker interface with this game is just not good. It's not, I mean...
It needs two things. A, it needs to be improved greatly, the interface. And B, it needs to have a fast forward and accelerate mode. Because if you fold on the first hand, on the first deal, you still have to watch the rest of the hands play out. It should have an automatic, all right, here's what happened. You shouldn't have to sit through each hand playing out. It's nice to know that that makes each hand random, but I don't care. I just want to get through this as fast as possible.
Yeah, if you're going to make a game based on gambling... The whole game based on gambling, by all means. That's the way to go with it. But if you're making a game about killing zombies in Fortune City and you have to gamble at some point, Make the game blackjack.
Right, yeah, exactly. Make the game something blackjack. Quick, something easy. Yeah.
Everybody understands. Yeah. I don't play Texas Hold'em. I don't know what the hell happened. Like, I don't know how to play it, so...
Right. Well,
And I'm not going to go out of my way to learn just so I can get...
They have the cheat sheet in there, but it's not very good.
People in...
Right.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
So, but yeah, Dead Rising, if you didn't like the first one, definitely go back and take a look at this one. It's a whole lot smoother. It's a much better experience. It is still very Japanese, so do be prepared to die a lot. And whatever you do, don't think about getting 100% right away, because you can't. You're going to have to die a few times. You're going to have to restart. You're going to have to learn the game mechanics and some of the caveats of how it works. You're definitely going to want to try and get as many survivors as you can so you can boost your PP, which is prestige points, which is otherwise known as XP, in the game, so you can level up a little bit quicker and maybe get a couple of those combo cards to give you some really unique weapon combinations to make the game a little bit easier.
Yeah, once you start combining the weapons, there's a couple of things that you can do to really boost the prestige point level.
Oh, yeah. If you can get the shotgun and the pitchfork, I think that's like 2750 a kill if you're carrying one of the books that boosts that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is ridiculous. It is crazy what you can do with that one.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, that's Dead Rising 2. We're going to go make some kids happy and some dentists even happier. We'll be back in a little bit. You guys won't notice a damn thing. Well, welcome back. I hope you're all good with your sugar highs and various little kitties that stopped by wearing all the odd costumes and such. We actually had someone stop by without a costume and did not give them candy. So, you know, boo-hoo to them. So, we have a couple more games we're going to talk about, one of which is DLC for Red Dead Redemption, and that is... Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare. And if you were at all listening to the background music while we were recording the first half of the podcast, that was actually the noise was coming from that game. Right now, if you're picking anything up, it's actually Max playing the game in the background.
It's a lot of fun once you clued me into the fact that you could... it was easier to aim.
Yeah, me...
Because that aim was crap.
Me, I run on the expert mode aiming, and Max is not as big a fan of the expert mode, so...
Oh, no, not a fan at all.
So I dropped it down to an easier way of aiming, and now he's enjoying it a whole lot more than he was before. So that's a good thing, I think. So Undead Nightmare basically is a DLC for Red Dead Redemption that adds zombies to the Wild Wild West. And it's actually done in a very, what I consider to be, tasteful manner. They have a nice little, almost Vincent Price-esque voiceover to start off the narration of
the
story.
Cool. Yeah, very much that.
They set a wonderful ambiance with it. The whole situation with towns being overrun with zombies, and you're there to help them, and once you liberate the cities, they're now clean. And they're actually represented with a cross on the map when you do that. There's a bunch of side missions. I'm not all that far into it right now, but it looks like it's going to be roughly about 4 to 8 hours of gameplay, depending on how deep you want to take it and how much you want to do. Do you want to liberate all the towns? Do you want to do all the story missions? Do you want to do all the side missions? So it's a lot like the actual game itself, and I have found it to be very much fun, very much camp, and it is a wonderful reason to go back to all the various cities in Red Dead. Now, Max, you never finished the first one, so...
I sure didn't.
I'm curious as to your take in a Western world where zombies exist.
I'll be honest with you. When I first heard that this was going to be the DLC for it, even though I didn't play the original one, I was like, oh, are we not played out? Are we not played out on the zombie thing yet?
And, right.
It does it with just enough tongue-in-cheek kind of
exactly.
fun... That I'm not sure. I haven't read any reviews of this so far, but if I'm the first to coin this phrase, I'm very proud of myself, and you should be proud of me too. It's a very cool kind of Night of the Living Deadwood.
Very nice. I have not heard that,
and,
but yeah,
the voice acting is great. Like that was something I did like about the first game.
Yeah, there's lots
of
voice acting.
The voiceover was very, very good.
So yeah, it basically throws you one night. You're coming home. Still trying to work with your family. So it takes place somewhere between, you know, the end of the game and roughly just after you finish the main storyline.
And you're on your way home, and the world is going a little crazy. You get home, your wife and kid are reading a book, and so on and so forth, and life goes on. Eventually, you find out your uncle's not there, and he shows up in the middle of the night, and some hell breaks loose. I'm not going to ruin it for those who want to actually download it, but they do some very interesting things there that was nice to see. And you basically go out on the way to try and find out what the hell is going on. One of the cool things about this DLC is there are four mythical beings that you can train if you want, of which they're the four horses of the apocalypse. So we just actually trained... Who did we train?
War.
We trained War, and War is a flaming thoroughbred. And the cool part about that thoroughbred is... The best part about it, there's two things that are great about it, but I find the best part is he has unlimited stamina, so you can ride him as hard and as long as you want, and you never have to rest. You never have to use Apple or anything like that. The other benefit to him, though, is anything you run over or touches starts on fire. Now, Max, unfortunately, has a slight bit of an odd addiction right now in the game. I'm not sure if we could actually should actually bring it up, but Max, what are you doing there?
Hog-tying people and seeing what I can do to them. I just dropped a lady off a cliff, which you laughed at, so don't talk to me like I'm some kind of psychotic.
One thing we did do that was interesting...
Because she's such a...
That's funny. One thing we did do that was interesting was we were trying to lure zombies away with hog-tied people. Now, it might have just been because I was on a side mission and it didn't seem to work the way as needed, but... The zombies don't seem to be attracted to them. We may be very well wrong with that. It may be something that does pop up later on, but as of right now, doesn't seem to be happening. One of the beauties of this game
is... We're going to test that out again right now.
You might actually see her live.
Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take her to get out of that hole or get back in that hole mission because there's a ton of running zombies in that.
Okay, well, we'll see how this works out.
We'll see how that goes.
So one of the things that's interesting about this, too, is they use this wonderful color mechanic where the map has been changed. It's a little bit yellow, a little bit green. All the water is red. The other neat part is when you go to a city, it's very dark and gloomy when it's infected. And when you clear it out, when you clear a city, it actually becomes nice, bright daylight, and it seems to look a little bit more like the game. There's still random mission encounters where you're going to run into people being chased down by undead, or maybe the occasional, is this happening, is this not happening, kind of thing. There's a silly little storyline that actually ends up very, very sad with Sasquatch.
It is.
So, there's a lot to do in this game. It's really neat. I really like Seth a lot in this. He's back, and he's very entertaining, and I'm just very curious to see the whole way it goes, and we'll definitely give you a full review coming up here in the near future, but as of right now, it's, as Max just said, it's Return of the Living Deadwood. It is Night of the Living Deadwood.
I just said it a couple minutes ago.
I'm sorry. And it is, it's very entertaining. It's, so far, lots of fun. You need to go burn the yellow box, the yellow dot. That's going to be a coffin, and you're going to have to go burn it. Yeah, so you just heard another mechanic. One of them is you have to go and destroy all the coffins inside of all the various graveyards to help prevent more zombies from rising from the dead. So, like I said, it's one of those really weird kind of fun mechanics, and there's lots to do here, and I'm not particularly sure what the actual end result is going to be, but definitely once we find out and it's been around a little longer, we will definitely let you know. So, Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare... Feel free to check it out. It's definitely entertaining.
It's good stuff.
I want to say it was $15. If you buy it right now, you can get all of the expansion packs, which I think are a little bit more. I think it's $5 a piece for those, but you can buy the entire pack for $20 right now if you want. So it's definitely a pretty good deal right now if you want to, and you might find something you're missing in Red Dead that'll make this a little bit more interesting. So Max is right now, he's running around with a torch. He's trying to lure some zombies, but we'll see how it works. Yeah, apparently they do not attack regular folks, so that kind of sucks. So pick up Red Dead Redemption. It's definitely worth taking a look at. There's an add-on pack right now that actually makes it Very, very economical, especially if you wanted to look at some of the multiplayer action that was there before. I hadn't taken a look at the previous ones. I did get the full setup because I did think it was worth checking out for the value that I needed it for. I think I said four a lot there, but that's okay.
There was some pronoun trouble. Not pronoun, preposition.
Preposition problems. Wow, look at that. Preposition problems.
Oh, look at that. Jerks.
So, another game I picked up recently and was happy with until I reached the end, and that is Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2.
So, I've heard.
So, I picked it up and I played it, and I was enjoying, I'd probably say, 90% of it. It is the sequel to it, only now, rather than having one lightsaber, you carry two. And the nice part is you can go ahead and customize these lightsabers any way you want. You can put a action crystal in one, and you can put a health recovery crystal in another. And these mechanics help adjust how the game plays for you a little bit. Another thing that you could do, too, is...
What's that?
Huh.
Vorlich. That's an unfortunate name.
Yeah. Very unfortunate. The one thing that I do... I did like it. The levels are very interesting. They tried fixing some of the canon in the story by bringing it up. And it's fun. It's good. It's Star Wars The Force Unleashed Part 2. There's polished graphics. Some of the controls are cleaned up. A lot of the controls are cleaned up. The Force powers are managed a whole lot better now. And you actually feel powerful when you first start up. It's not, oh, we're going to strip you of everything, and then you're forced to rebuild, and it kind of sucks. So... Another thing about it that it's still my major big gripe is targeting for your telekinesis is awful. It is horrible. You may want to pick up a crate to throw at something, but because there's something directly behind it that is an enemy, it'll target the enemy, and you're not picking up the crate to throw and do everything you need with. And it was like, ah. There weren't as many frustrating events in this one as there were in the last one. The last
That's
one,
good.
You had to do this whole stupid tear down a Star Destroyer from the sky kind of thing with your force power. This, there's similar ones to that, but it's nowhere near as ridiculous or bad. It's a whole lot nicer, it's a whole lot cleaner, and I really do like that part. Now, the biggest problem I have, though, is the end of the game. And I don't want to spoil anything, but there's no way to... do the review without actually telling you how the game kind of ends. And the game ends in a horrible canonical mess. And what they do is Starkiller, he's a clone in this of the original Starkiller. So you're constantly being torn. Am I real? Am I a clone? What does this mean for me? What does this not mean for me? At the end of the game, you're fighting Darth Vader, and he's constantly unleashing all of these, like, bizarro clones at you. So there's a little bit of a competition with it. It's pretty cool. It's neat. And if you've seen a trailer, I'm not ruining anything for you. But the one thing that really, really sucks at the end is you have, at the end, a light-dark choice. And the light choice, which is all I've done so far, really, really, really screws up Star Wars canon a lot.
But are these games, is this game considered to be canon?
It is considered to be canon. Lucas considers this to be canon. And what they did with this makes it very, very bad. Very, very strange and not, I have no idea how they can recover from it. But they leave it 100% absolutely open for a sequel based on the light ending. And that's okay, but the fact that some of the major, you know, carriers of this torch are no longer working for LucasArts, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
You know what? You should go ahead and talk about the ending, because it's too cryptic if you don't.
Yeah, okay. So, the ending of the first Force Unleashed was, when you did it, on the light side, the rebels embrace what you had done. You sacrificed yourself so that Bail Organa and Princess Leia and all of them can get out. And when you do that... they see your family crest, and your crest is what the Rebel Alliance adopts as its logo, hence that kind of half moon with the point in it.
Right.
That logo, which is your family crest, becomes the Rebel Alliance logo. That's fine, it's great, and they decide to to use that in your honor. Now, this game, the end of it is, and I don't feel bad for ruining this because it's so weird. The story is really good up until the very end. The very end, you're fighting Darth Vader, and you beat him into submission. And right when you're about to kill him, you have a light or dark choice. And basically, the difference is, do you want a good ending or do you want the bad ending? And if you choose the good ending, which is what I chose, you take the Rebel Alliance takes Vader hostage.
Hostage? So basically, Vader gets arrested.
He gets arrested. He's put in the Hannibal Lecter-like everything. He's straight up and down. And
do they leave his helmet on?
Yeah, they leave his helmet on.
See, that's ridiculous. You wouldn't let him in there with his helmet.
Well, he would die without it.
Into a jail? Oh, I guess so.
But you go in and you taunt him a little bit, and then you fly away, and that's the credits roll. And it was so disheartening because that really breaks canon. Never in the... And this takes place between Revenge of the Sith and New Hope. So if you're the people that don't believe the first three movies exist, the new ones, then you don't need to worry about this at all. It's an entertaining game. But if you are one of these people that think this is a whole continuity thing, whenever have they ever mentioned that the Rebel Alliance had captured Darth Vader and then somehow he got away from them?
I think I heard about that.
When?
If you listen real carefully during the cantina scene of A New Hope, there's two Greedos in the corner. They're talking about it.
That, okay, all right.
They talk about that one time that Darth Vader got put in detention.
Yeah. So now,
he's a hostage.
So now we'll have Digital Edition Remake 2 of A New Hope. But if you can deal with some story problems, which is what this thing suffers from, the first one, everybody loved the story. I did too. And they kind of forgave some of the shitty gameplay and continuity problems with gameplay for the fact that it was a good, it was a great story. It was an awesome Star Wars story. In this, they fix all the control, most of the control issues. They really give it a huge graphical uplift, and then they turn around and screw up the story. So they just can't seem to get anything really right out
same
there.
Same team?
Supposedly it's the same team. Now, Hayden Blackman, I think it's Blackman, he was the creator of the first game. He was the one who kind of championed it and got it built. He did the same thing for this game, but he left the team after it finally went gold to form his own game studio. What this means, I don't know. They're definitely doing a third one. If that's good or bad, I have no idea. But it could be, so... You know, just have to wait and see. Time will tell whether or not it's good or bad. So, Max is now tired with his woman he tied up, and he just firebombed her.
No, but... Oh, there's my tomahawk. That's what I wanted.
You could swap different weapons. Now, if you pull the LB, and, like, if you go all the way to the right, and then you hit... No, with the other... And if you hit the right digital pad, it'll switch to the double-barrel shotgun. So you can swap, and it always tries to pick the more powerful weapon right, for
now
you.
Now that is not intuitive.
Well, if you had played the original, it would be, because it would have explained that to you. But, yeah. Oh, and one of the last things about Red Dead Redemption, not to completely bork the second half of this podcast, but one of the beauties of it is there is no ability to buy ammunition. So you're stuck with what you can scrounge off the zombies. When you liberate a town, you get access to their storage chests. There may be 6 cartridges in there for shotgun shells. There may be 4 shots of your repeater. There only may be 2 shots for your revolver. So there is a limited amount of ammo in the game. And if you're going to farm ammo, you're going to have to spend ammo to make ammo to get ammo by killing all the various zombies. So it's definitely very, very interesting in that regard. So, but anyways, Force Unleashed, there's going to be a third one. Who knows what they're going to do with it, if it's going to be good, bad. When it's going to come out, and if it even is. Go to the back. Go to the other side. No, oh, that works too. There's 2 huge doors on either side. You decide to go through the most complicated of the doors.
It's a door. It was open. How complicated is that?
Well, you were running at full speed. That was part of the problem. But that's okay. Force Unleashed 2. You know, if you're a Star Wars fan, you'll pick it up. You'll enjoy it. Rent it. Do not buy it. It's not worth buying.
Out of 5? What would you say?
Out of 5, I'd probably give it a 3, maybe a 2.5. There's additional content on it that I haven't played, and that's there's all these trial missions and all these kind of things, which I'm interested in.
Hey, here's the saloon.
And then there's one huge problem that really pissed me off. You actually get to go to Dagobah, and you actually get to meet Yoda. But the only thing you do on Dagobah is you pick up like one rock to get a hidden item, and then you pick up two other hidden items, and you get then you're greeted with like a 3 to 5 minute cutscene with Yoda, and then advancing the plot. What was the point of even having me going to Dagobah to pick up this rock to pick something up to move on? Very ridiculous, very poor, and absolute horrible use of a planet and a character just to have them be there. The other part, too, is in the story, you run into Boba Fett is hired by Darth Vader. You don't even face Boba Fett at all in the game. And it is so upsetting that they have these cool characters and then they just throw them away. And it looks like the Dagobah thing may have been used in a DLC. Because there's a Dagobah DLC that I got for pre-purchasing it from Amazon. I haven't played it yet to see, but if that's the case, it's just I'm a little upset with that. But definitely rent it. Don't worry about the DLC. You don't need it. It's an easy game playthrough. You can do it anywhere from probably 8 to 10 hours, depending on what level you play it at. And I want to say I really loved it, but it's just not all that great, unfortunately. They do fix a lot of the control problems, but all in all, it has some pretty big issues. So yeah, that's Force Unleashed 2. So one last thing here real quick. Max and I both have been reading the Walking Dead series, and they just debuted the television show on AMC this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like I said, we both read it. Max has finished all the way up through probably issue 68.
73.
Okay, 73. He's all the way through 73. I'm only through issue like 32 or 33, right around there. So we are familiar with the original content, and
Well, I enjoyed that very much.
Well, you still have him under your arm, though, which is very strange.
I still do, but I can no longer drop him.
Max hogtied a dude and then picked him up, and now he just flew away.
I totally flew away, and it looked cool.
And if you're at all familiar with Red Dead, you know that it's plagued with lots of weird bugs with, like, the flying chicken lady and the horse woman.
The horse woman.
And all that kind of stuff. And apparently we just found another one. It's the Flying Dutchman. So that's definitely most interesting. So, but Walking Dead, what did you think of Walking Dead?
Oh, I can't access any of my weapons either.
Well, you might be able to go to your horse and it might trigger something else. But Oh, you pissed off the townsfolk, man.
By sending their mayor into the stratosphere?
Well.
Sensitive people. I very much enjoyed Walking Dead. I thought it was great, but my problem with it is it's 6 episodes.
Right.
And it's AMC. So my fear is that we're going to get left after only 6 episodes wanting more. Right. And because of AMC's track record, we're going to be waiting for a long time. Unless Darabont's got other episodes already shot and in the can.
Right.
I don't know if he does or not.
Neither do I, but you and I had talked about this directly after it ended. There's so many kids that are going to be in the show if they follow the comic book at all.
That's right.
They're going to have to shoot a lot of them at the same time. Otherwise, these kids are going to grow like sprouts at the age in which they're portrayed in the comic book after just 1 year of off time. So I have no idea what they're going to do, but it could be very, very interesting from here on out. Well, the game is completely bugged. You can't even get on your horse.
Nope.
So, you might as well just go find where that guy is and let him shoot you to death. Or go find some zombies to let them maul and eat you. So, yeah. So, overall, this Halloween, I mean, yesterday I watched all horror movies all day. Today I played a little Dead Rising 2 and, you know, a little Red Dead Undead Nightmare. And then I watched, gave away some Halloween candy. And now I'm watching you slaughter horses.
I'm
carrying
rampage.
An invisible mayor around. And
it was the mayor, I'm thinking, right?
Well, I don't know.
He had a very official looking mustache.
I'll probably take some video of this here in a bit, and we can show it to you. So don't get killed, Max. And then we finished off with a little bit of Walking Dead, which I really truly did enjoy. And you know, I'm really looking forward to next week. And I hope they keep this up, and I hope it works well. I think Max might end up picking up Red Dead now that he knows how much fun it can be, now that he's officially seen it, and has decided to embrace his evil side. Is that true?
I don't know if I'll pick it up.
I might borrow it or whatever.
But yeah, I might borrow it again. Because we have a couple of games coming out this month that I'm interested in.
I have, you know, a bunch of new stuff has come out. Like Fallout New Vegas came out. I'm saving that for my family for a Christmas present. if I happen to get it. Another game that came out just recently that I didn't pick up is Fable 3, which I might, you know, ask for a Christmas present for. But the only other game I'm picking up this year is Call of Duty Black Ops. After that, it's all free reign for whoever does. What one are you looking forward to?
It's coming out this month. I'm trying to remember what it is. It's not Splatterhouse. Just reading some early reviews of that. Seems like it's going to be kind of blah.
Oh, well, that sucks. But do you remember which one? Do you remember what kind of route you're going with it? Or
it's just one of those games that I like.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I think it's in there.
Okay, take a look.
But
yeah, there lots of stuff has come out, and I can't even keep track of all the stuff I want and what I've gotten and what I've gotten from. I'm actually kind of happy that Force Unleashed was kind of short because it gave me the ability to follow stuff through. You know, a great game that just came out that you might even be interested in, that I'm not sure if you would be or not, but Civ 5, Civilization 5. I'm not a Civ guy, but Christ, Civ 5 has eaten up some of my time. It's amazing. So Max is looking up exactly what it is real quick. I think he's trying to figure out what it might be.
Where is the release schedule? Games. Keep going.
Well, I don't have much else to say. Oh, a quick mini review of Madden. I'll have to edit around some of this. A really quick mini review of Madden. I really like the new Madden. I know you're not a fan of sports games, but I can give a quick review of this one. Madden has become accessible to anybody who wants to play a football game and at least understands the rudimentary fundamentals of football strategy. They've made it so that you just go in, the coach picks the play, puts it in your ear, kind of gives you a little idea of what you're looking for, and then you hike the ball and you throw it. It's not so much like Blitz or Tecmo Bowl. It's still Madden. There's still some strategy. There's still some understanding to it. But they've gotten rid of – they've taken what can be an hour, a half hour, 45-minute game and really condensed it down to a 15-minute kind of quick match. I haven't done a season or anything elaborate like that, but I am doing very simple, you know, one-on-one games, taking my favorite teams, playing them against someone else, and trying to knock out some achievements, do some other weird things. But they have made football absolutely 100% accessible to anybody who's interested in it but felt intimidated by it. And it was really nice to see. It's probably the biggest leap Madden has ever done individually. And, kudos to the team. I hope they keep this up. It's a wonderful iteration, and I'm enjoying it. I just have not brought it online, and I've just kind of kept it to myself. It has one major flaw, though, and that is you can't really play two-player with the auto-coach mode because if your friend doesn't know football very well, you're kind of screwed. But all in all, Madden is really good, almost worth picking up if you've ever wanted to give Madden a try. Definitely rent it and see if you like it. But it looks well, plays well, it's super nice. There's still that one go-to play when you learn to read an offense. You can send a guy on a fly route and bomb it to him every single time. But aside from that, Madden's really pretty good.
Nope.
Didn't Sorry. Find it?
No, I found it. It was just your Madden thing. Too little, too late. I've been frustrated by the Madden series for over a decade now.
I know. Most people have been since they went from the Genesis style or the Super NES style to 3D. A lot of people have been upset with it.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, this new one, like I said, is pretty good.
John Madden is rolling in his grave.
Well, yeah, probably.
He will be soon.
Yes.
Well, not soon. But
from diabetes.
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Oh, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
That's the one. Duh. That's the one.
I'm actually picking that one up too. Yeah, that one just went gold, I guess.
That's the 16th that comes out, and then Splatterhouse is at the end of the month. But Splatterhouse, to read the early review, it makes it sound pretty much like every other game out there. You know, you have red orbs and blue orbs, one's for your magic, one's for your health. I'm not going to recount somebody else's preview or something, but I'll definitely be picking Assassin's Creed up.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. I totally forgot about that. Good call. Very good call. Yeah, I've left two games out there for friends and family. Probably family, because my mom and my sister get upset when I don't leave games on the table. So I left Fallout New Vegas and Fable 3 for them to maybe stuff in my stocking or underneath the Christmas tree this winter. So, do you have any comments?
No. Next time we get together, I want to talk about Monsters, that movie.
Oh, yeah. Monsters, and I want to talk about Costume Quest, and I want to talk about I'll finish off this. I'm going to do the Alan Wake stuff. I have Singularity from Gamefly. So the Kinect will be out. Maybe we'll see one of those in action. I don't know. And there'll be a lot more left to do. And we'll definitely be able to do this probably in, you know, 2 weeks again.
Yeah.
All right.
If not sooner.
If not sooner. All right. Sounds good. So anything left to say?
Nope.
All right. Well, then, welcome back to us, I think. It's been a long time, and hope to get back on a regular schedule. And just so you know, you probably don't know this, and everybody else doesn't know this, October 28th is the one-year anniversary of me registering this domain.
Oh, so 2 days ago.
Yes, 2 days ago. And I posted our first podcast, no, a year ago. 1 year
ago. Well, anniversary was 2 days
yes,
ago.
Yes, yes, yes. And then the first podcast I posted, which is the welcome, was next week.
No kidding.
So, but we're still far off from our actual year. Yeah, our first actual episode and our 1 year show anniversary is until December. So it's about a month and a half off.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. So until next time, guys, we will talk to you later. This is Brad.
I'm Max.
And this is 2AD Camera Podcast. Thanks.
Bye. Turn around, dipshitticus! Oh my god.
Well, you were reloading.
Yep, another game that fucks you with reloading.
Well, what do you expect him to do? Honestly, you know? Well, we hope all
really? You... Really? None of you? None of... Oh, there you go. There's... One guy. Oh, are we starting?
I've been recording.
Oh, shit.
So we have Dipshitticus on podcast material.
Shit. Well, don't...
So maybe I'll end it with that. I don't know.
Okay.